We are with the Green Zone, the Blitz podcast, getting set for week three in the Canadian Football League. Jamie and I and Britton Gray getting you set now for the Riders and the Toronto Argonauts in Toronto. But of course, a look back at what we saw in week number two, which was a rough Rider win against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, 28-23. And the story of the game was Brett Lawther missing four kicks, three field goals, and a point after touchdown, or that could have been another runaway game like it could have been for the Riders in week one. But the defense kind of let them in a little bit in Ottawa. This time it was Brett Lawther not finishing his job. And no surprise, Britton, he wasn't sharing the blame. He took all the blame. Even though a lot of people want to make excuses for him, new holder, didn't practice outdoors a lot last week, but he pretty well said, no, I just missed four kicks. Simple as that.
Yeah, Brett wasn't accepting any blame to be put anywhere else. He said it was all on him. Those are kicks he has to make, and I agree with that. Those are kicks he should make. It, luckily for him, well, maybe not luckily, but this team is good enough to overcome things like that this year. They were able to find a way to win against... Listen, we can talk about the Hamilton team and their issues. That was their home opener. It's still traveling out east. There's still a lot of things that worked against the Riders even before what happened on the field. And so for them to still get the win, love to see that. I think that shows how good this team can be. And let's be honest, it was a five-point win. Brett Lawther hits two more of those field goals and hits that convert. You're up to double digits, and no one is complaining about a double-digit win at that point.
Yeah, so I look at it with Brett Lawther. They're going to give him another chance. There's not even another kicker who was brought in this week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to even challenge it anyway. So you know he's going to get that second chance. He's deserved it. But it'll be interesting to see how this season goes. Like the Brett Lawther over the last, I guess, 2 years has been kind of in that mid-tier of kickers in the Canadian Football League. He hasn't been like he was 3 years ago in that 90% range. Now, at the end of last year, he definitely was, again, yeah, as clutch. You know, he made his final 27 of the season when you include the playoffs in it. Like, so you have that. You've seen him work through it, and you've seen him get through it, and there's no doubt he can do it again. But it's extremely frustrating that it was another, you know, four-miss night, which we saw last year. He was able to rally back from that. We expect him to rally back from that. But it'll be a storyline you got to watch this season, early this season, if it's where it's going to trend. We expect it to trend in the positive, but where this team is trending, you don't want to be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers from a few years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers, if they would have had a kicker, would have won the Grey Cup in Saskatchewan. But they didn't. They didn't have a guy that you're going to rely on in crunch time. We all believe Brett Lawther is that guy, but they can't just wait for it either. They need to see it in the next few weeks that it's getting together. So, yeah. Sorry, Britton, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it only becomes a concern if this 2-3 games in a row where he's struggling, then you maybe look at a change. But as you mentioned, Brett Lawther has earned the right that after one bad game, he doesn't get thrown out, see you later. Dinner on Delta, right? Exactly. That's what people say.
Dinner on Delta. I don't think it's going to be there for Brett Lawther.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows. He knows it's pro kicking. He knows what it is, right? Nothing's going to be surprising Brett Lawther on what's he got to make kicks, or they're going to bring in somebody else to see what they can do. That's just the life of a kicker in pro football. I think even the Baltimore Ravens at one point brought somebody in to push Justin Tucker last year. Now Tucker's gone, of course, but he was the most accurate guy in the National Football League. So there was one angle of it, but it was a win again, and we saw A.J. Ouellette, touchdown, big 47-yard run. We saw Roland Milligan Jr., interception return for a touchdown, his first career CFL touchdown as well against Hamilton, as both those guys went down in week one, show up with scores in week two. which was nice to see after they cleared concussion protocol.
Yeah, boy, you should have seen the look on Roland Milligan's face after the game when we got to interview him after he finally scored the touchdown. He's been so close, stopped at the one. He mentioned guys were giving him a hard time for getting tackled by quarterbacks and offensive linemen and not being able to take it all the way. So he was excited to finally have his first CFL touchdown. And just, it's great to see this for AJ Ouellette. This is the guy who they went out and got from Toronto. You finally got to see what he can do when he's healthy. And also when he gets spelled off a little bit, when he doesn't need to do 20 carries. Kadeem Carey only had four, but that's still four less times that AJ Ouellette had to get hit. Tommy Stevens also, great job by him on the third down conversions, right? It seems like you finally have faith in this team to go out and automatically get that 1 yard with him there. But yeah, AJ Ouellette, love to see the burst. I know Belton loved to see the stiff arm. He probably watched that 20 times after he got home and everything because he was fired up by it, and for good reason. That's what AJ Ouellette is brought in to do. Not only a good running back, but fire guys up in that locker room.
Yeah, that's one of those runs that fires the team up, and you can see the burst. You can see it this year that we didn't see it last year. He was clearly injured from the hop, like right from day one of camp. We've talked about it. And we've talked about that he does have more of a burst. And he showed it in week one. Like, he rattled off that 20-yard gain. He got hurt. But then you see it again with a 47-yard run. I think more of the same is going to happen with A.J. Ouellette as this season progresses, if, of course, he stays healthy. And the other side of it is that offensive line. Again, battling injury, right? You have Peyton Collins go down. So what do they do? Canadian, Rook. Daniel Johnson goes in there, and they don't miss a beat. They did allow one sack this week, but you're taking that all day. If you allow one sack a game and you're at 18 quarterback sacks at the end of the year, you're going to be the best offensive line in that category in the Canadian Football League. So another impressive performance by this battered and bruised offensive line that doesn't miss a beat. It's, again, one of the most impressive start things about this 2-0 start for the Rough Riders.
Well, it's been funny listening to other podcasts and out-of-market stuff, a TSN. Everyone seemed to be just throwing the red flags on the offensive line that this is why the Riders aren't a Grey Cup contender this year. Already injuries, concerned, and all of us in Saskatchewan who saw what happened last year were like, hang on here, it's concerns, but we have to give them the benefit of the doubt because of what they did last year, dealing with 13 different starters and still looking good. And it's looking like Edwin Harrison, as Coach Corey Mace said, the nickname for Edwin Harrison is Coach of the Year because of what he's been doing already with the offensive line, what he did last year, and how good they've been. And so it just feels like they're going to keep rolling. Doesn't matter who they put in there. They're getting guys back. They got Jacob Brammer back last week. We expect Peyton Collins at some point to return soon, which it actually was a fan-asked question, which we can get to in a little bit here about the timeline. This team has depth. And I never thought the offensive line was as big as a detriment as everyone else wanted to because I've seen them overcome this before. I believe they could do it again, and it looks that way, at least as of right now.
And the other big storyline that has people talking, of course, is the big chunks, the yardage, the defense. I talked to Jameer Thurman about it, and he said, absolutely, the explosion plays has to stop. We're allowing too many explosion plays. That is not at all anything that we're going to accept as a defense. And it's all about communication. He says it's all about communication. We're not communicating well enough, so we're not making the switches. We're not making the right decisions off the snap. So that's another thing to clean up. But you're cleaning up this stuff in week three, and you're 2-0. Like, I'd rather be there than the mess that the Toronto Argonauts are cleaning up. Like, seriously, clean up on aisle five. It is a disaster. Everything's off the shelves. It's all spread out everywhere, and you're mopping it up in Toronto where – they're just moving some things around in Saskatchewan. So where the Riders are, but of course the defense isn't happy with this. Yeah. As much as I tweeted out, expect more of these things. They're not accepting it. I'm expecting 300 yard games from quarterbacks. That's just the way it is with a defense like this. But at the same time, they bait you into making a mistake that has Roland Milligan returning an interception for a touchdown.
Yeah, I said on the green zone, I expect more quarterbacks to throw for over 400 yards than quarterbacks to throw for less than 300 against this Riders defense, because at Jameer Thurman, obviously the defense doesn't want to give up those chunk plays, but it's going to come. They're going to find yards. But as you mentioned, interceptions. That's what this team is built on. They will force turnovers. We finally saw it with Roland Milligan. That is going to continue to improve, I think, as the defense gets more in tune, as they get more used to it as well, and kind of just continue to roll. But yeah, lots of yards. As I said when I did an interview on Global Regina, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders would be fine if Kenny Lawler has 150 yards but no touchdowns. He had 162, so close enough. But once again, kept him out of the end zone. They scored, sure, got all the way down to the one, but not a game where they gave up a ton of touchdowns because they gave up chunk plays.
I think there was a game last year. What was that? Oh, yeah, the West Final.
Yeah.
Four catches, 177 yards, and three touchdowns. That did not happen this time for Kenny Lawler against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It'll be something to watch for, too, though. Like, are they cleaning it up? Do they allow these chunk plays against the Argos again? And, of course, the BC Lions and Nathan Rourke are up next in week four after this week, which is going to be one of those teams that's going to be battling with the Rough Riders all season in the West Division standings. But, of course, we allow you to ask questions to the Blitz podcast. Apologies. That we haven't done this for the last couple of weeks, but let's get to it this week on what the fans want to know, as we pride ourselves on being the home of the fans here on the Green Zone. Bruce, if Emelis can't go, and yes, Sam Emelis went down late in that game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, how do you see the ratio changing? Do they keep Ouellette and Carey together in the backfield? I'm going to be very interested on Thursday when that depth chart comes out to see how they do this, because right now, after just one day of practice that we're able to watch, it looks like Thomas Bertrand-Houdon will come back on. So there's the Canadian for the Canadian. But the receiver that was in Emelis' spot was preseason superstar Joe Robustelli. He's American, so which American comes off? I'm thinking it might be one of the defensive linemen. Caleb Sanders, maybe. Maybe it'll be Kadeem Carey. It'll be interesting to see how they shake up this roster, if it is indeed Joe Robustelli, because when I was watching practice, he was out there with the number one punt return team, was Joe Robustelli. So that's where, not taking the return, but just out there. And I'm like, okay, if he's taking those reps, that would tell me he's probably coming in. But Britton, what do you think? What's your hunch if they can keep Ouellette and Carey together in the backfield without Emelis?
I really have nothing to add to what you said. I'm in complete agreement. The Emelis one is easy. You bring on Thomas Bertrand-Houdon. But I feel like this team, especially if it's against Toronto, you know that Corey Mace is a player's coach. He's a former player. He knows what it would mean for Kadeem Carey to play the team that cut him. Also, fun fact, this is also AJ Ouellette's first time playing Toronto because he was injured for last week. So I think it means a little bit more to Carey because he was cut. AJ Ouellette chose to leave in free agency to come to Saskatchewan. He's been here a year already. So I think they keep them together. And if that's the case, it has to be a defensive lineman. I don't know where else you make the change. So Caleb Sanders makes a lot of sense because Aaron Patrick does a lot of special teams as well. So he has that going for him. But that's really the only place I can see them making that American move. I don't know where else they would go.
Yeah, Aubrey Miller Jr., I don't see them doing that as the backup to Jameer Thurman. They don't really have many guys in the backfield that would, like, defensive backfield. It comes down to, you know, either Kadeem Carey or defensive lineman, mm-hmm. or way out there, if they have somebody else who can return kicks, Mario Alford. But I don't see that happening either.
Not with how good Mario Alford's been to start the season. We have to, like, props to him. We had a bunch of question marks, and he has been dynamic for this team so far.
Yeah, big punt return last week, setting them up in good field position. Mm-hmm. for Mario Alford. So, Bruce, thanks for the question. It is definitely going to be something we'll be watching when that depth chart comes out ahead of Friday's tilt against the Toronto Argonauts. As we get to the next question, of course, you can find us at Jamie Nye, at Britton Gray, or at Green Zone SK to send your questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Blitz podcast every week. I promise, going forward.
Sasko, okay. Formerly Fake Gainer, with a question. I believe that was him.
I was like, is that it? Really? Okay.
I think so.
That's what happened to Fake Gainer. Now I realize I haven't seen Fake Gainer around lately.
I believe he changed his name to Sasko at some point last season. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm not on the X burner accounts. Okay. premature maybe, but do you see a lot of big similarities between Joe Robustelli, Matt Dominguez, very similar height, weight, decent speed, limited action that we've witnessed, of course. Yeah, it's hard to put Joe Robustelli into the category of someone who's in the Riders Plaza of Honor. But Joe Robustelli is, I don't know if it's Matt Dominguez. Definitely not Curtis Marsh, because Marsh was a different beast altogether for that one. Who was the comparison? It was a pretty good comparison.
It was Trevor Harris. Ellingson. He compared him to Greg Ellingson.
I'll take Trevor Harris's answer on Greg Ellingson on that type of dynamic that he has. He's a really good athlete, so it'll be interesting to see how it with Joe Robustelli. I hope he plays this week because I want to see him out there. I want to see it for real. Outside of that random week last week when they made last-minute changes and he barely practiced and was thrown in there, he got the reps this week to be ready for this one against Toronto. But I think it can be a fair comparison with Matt Dominguez, but Trevor Harris compared him to Greg Ellingson, of course, his former receiver with the Ottawa Redblacks, as well as used to play with the Hamilton Tiger Cats as well.
Yeah, I'll default to Trevor Harris as well on this one. He's seen him in practice, knows how he is, and I want to see it in a game, and then we can really start to review the tape and decide who he reminds us of.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back on Matty. He was like that big play. I don't see the up with Joe Robustelli. Like Matt Dominguez would go up and get balls. Like, he was that type of guy. Robustelli, I think, is way more with his flag football. Like, he was on the national flag football team. Mm-hmm. He's a very strong route runner. Like, he uses his body to get open on a route runner type, and Matt would do that too. Have we seen Joe go up and get some footballs? Like, Matt Dominguez, I don't know if I've seen that from Joe yet game. He just seems to find a way to just get open. It's not a lot of contested catches because he just outjukes the defensive back early and gets open. So we'll see what he brings, if he's on the depth chart, of course, although we are assuming that he is. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to formerly Fake Gainer.
I believe so. Apparently. We'll have to get that confirmed, but I believe that's it. And we do have one more.
All right. Derek, what is the time frame on Peyton Collins along the offensive line? Saw him in a crutches and a knee brace last week. Don't know if I saw him yesterday at practice, but he is on the one-game injured list.
Yeah, that's good news there for Peyton Collins. But even when he is healthy, where does he fit in, right? Because he was brought in due to the injury to Jacob Brammer. Played really well, but then now Daniel Johnson has come in. He's a Canadian. He's playing really well. This is the depth that the Riders have, and I find it funny just because ahead of week one, everyone was concerned about Peyton Collins, really unknown. After not even a full game, everyone's concerned about where is Peyton Collins? When do we get him back? Because I think a lot of people, a lot of fans, rightfully so, might have some concerns about offensive line injuries based on what they had to go through last season, right? They want depth.
Nobody could pick out Peyton Collins in a lineup. But all of a sudden, they were worried about Peyton Collins now.
I've seen a lot of people worried about Peyton Collins, where I'm like, 2 weeks ago, no one knew who he was, and now everyone wants an update on him. But, hey.
This team has three capable left tackles.
Yes.
Like, Peyton Collins showed well. Daniel Johnson showed well. And their actual left tackle from all of training camp is at left guard right now in Trevion Tate. Like, that's where this team's at right now. And they are in conversations with Trevor Reed if he elects to come back to the Canadian Football League. He's still dealing with that injury from his workouts ahead of NFL camps. He got an injury diagnosis waive claim down there. But if, like, he could be an option later this season, potentially. Like, stop worrying about this offensive line, people. It's okay, but the time frame for Peyton Collins is more week to week than what we've seen from some of the other injuries, like, unfortunately, C.J. Avery now in the sixth game, that's going to be month to month. So,
yeah,
that's good news for Peyton Collins, who clearly has some sort of knee sprain that he's dealing with after week one.
Yeah, and the offensive line for a second week in the row was the highest graded PFF unit. And I'm trying to find it. I think that they've said that Jamarcus Hardrick and Logan Ferland haven't allowed a pressure yet. So they've been really good so far. Let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, PFF, of course, Pro Football Focus, does CFL grades each and every week. And as Britton said, for the second straight week, the top graded out offensive line was this apparent disaster of an offensive line with the Rough Riders. But Edwin Harrison and Corey Mace and Mark Mueller, I've been saying it for years when it comes to the offensive line of the Rough Riders. Is this more system than talent? And I want to get that offensive line that from 4 years ago that allowed 77 sacks, put them in front of Trevor Harris and in this system. I bet you they allow half of that with what's going on. I very much think this was system more than talent. And remember how many sacks, I think it was 40-some, that actually were put on Cody Fajardo's scrambling into sacks rather than that offensive line. So they took a lot of heat, and I think this group is one that I think Trevor Harris is pretty darn confident in going into week number three against the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree that, like I said, this team is going to be good. That offensive line is going to be fine, I think.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of a preview now on week three. Again, thanks for the questions. You can send them our way at Britton Gray, at Jamie Nye. If you're on YouTube watching, you can see our links to X below us, but that's where you can find us on X anyways, or at Green Zone SK on YouTube, Instagram, X, Jamie and I, the sports guy on Facebook. Give us a message and we can bring your question forward on the podcast each and every week. But it's the Toronto Argonauts. They're 0-2. They're still the defending Grey Cup champions, though, Britton. We've heard that ad nauseum this week from the Rough Riders. They're still the Grey Cup champions. This is not the Grey Cup champions. I'm sorry. This is not the team we saw leave the field with the Grey Cup in Vancouver last year at all. And Nick Arbuckle's struggling. They don't have much of a run game. They're not popping off for big plays. Even their defense is lacking at times. I think their defense actually might be their strongest part, but they're put up against it with some short fields here and there for the first 2 weeks of the season. So there's a lot to fix in Toronto as the Riders, I think, for this was the toughest stretch. Like, right from the start of the season when the schedule came out, it was a very favorable schedule on short weeks. But this was the toughest when it came to the schedule. You had to travel to Hamilton, and then it's a short week of prep, and then you have to travel. So back from Hamilton to Regina, and then back to out east in Toronto on a short week of prep. This was their toughest piece of the schedule, I think, based on short weeks and travel. But they took on two teams I think we thought a lot more of at the start of the season than what they've shown early in Hamilton and Toronto, both 0-2.
Yeah, absolutely. I have confirmed, PFF has said Ferland and Hardrick haven't allowed a pressure, and Ferland hasn't lost a pass blocking snap yet when he's been in pass block. So there's a reason why he probably should be the most outstanding offensive lineman in the entire league.
Ryan Hunter was pretty good. Not pretty good.
He was the best, according to the awards. You mentioned this stretch here. It was going to be tough, but Hamilton, something isn't working there quite yet. They're still figuring it out. It really felt like those first 2 weeks were preseason games almost for Hamilton, with how the mistakes they were making, just being off and everything. And Toronto, Nick Arbuckle looks like the Nick Arbuckle that was going to retire, not the Grey Cup MVP Nick Arbuckle. And now this week, they might be without Wint McManus on defense. They're already down Chad Kelly, who, whatever you may think of him, is their leader on offense and can throw a darn good football. And Wint McManus is their leader on defense, and it's looking like he's going to miss this week. Sometimes in football, you need things to work your way. You need some stuff to kind of just fall out as the season goes on. And it's looking like the Riders might have just gotten a little bit lucky with the fact that the Argos are in such turmoil right now and could be missing some of their big keys here.
Yeah, and it's pretty much their two captains. Like, Chad Kelly is their offensive captain. He's their offensive leader. Wint McManus, there's no doubt about it, he's their best defensive player. He's that darn good. So without those, like, the Riders are going into Toronto. Just a spoiler alert, I will be picking the Rough Riders to win this week. I think Britain is too. I think that we can make that pretty well clear on what we think of the Toronto Argonauts. But I'll be interested. I was able to talk to him, and you'll hear it on the pregame show. Oh, the dog's going to be barking. The dog's going to be barking, Britain, on Friday. Anthony Lanier II. Of course, you remember him from his Saskatchewan days in the background of interviews, barking away. Yeah. I asked him, I'm like, are you still barking at practice? He's like, oh, yeah, I still got that dog in me. So Anthony Lanier up against his former team for the first time. He has 8 tackles and a sack. And he's actually looked healthy and pretty good this season. So I'll be interested to see. Logan Ferland's got a test on his hands with those numbers from the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, Lanier has kind of proven why he was one of the top paid defensive linemen while here in Saskatchewan. Unfortunately, couldn't stay healthy. But yeah, he's off to a really start to this season. He's going to be a handful, but it just, as you mentioned already, Toronto they don't feel like they're the great defending Grey Cup champions with everyone they've lost and just starting behind the eight ball almost, it feels like, this season.
Yeah, they brought back Kevin Brown this week. They released him and Kadeem Carey out of training camp. I wonder if they're wishing that Kadeem wasn't plucked by the Riders last week to bring him back, because they have some injury problems and they haven't really run the ball all that well for the Toronto Argonauts either. So that's going to be interesting to see. And again, without Sam Emelis, you know, Keyshawn Johnson stepped up last week at the end of the game, some huge catches. Dante Myers had one of the top catches of the league already, getting that foot down. He's going to have to show more. And then you have Del Duncan Busby, Mitch Picton, and Joe Robustelli. This is nowhere close to the group of receivers that Trevor Harris was hoping to have out of the gate without Kean Schaefer Baker. Now maybe without Sam Emelis. But next man up, they do have the talent to go up against this Argos defense.
Yeah, you know, it's only week two. After week two, we're heading into week three. But my Keyshawn Johnson prediction is on track right now. I'm just saying.
Are you doing the same numbers as John Hodges with Nathan Rourke?
No. I'm not predicting.
Multiplying by 9 from week two, what the projections are?
I'm not projecting. I'm just saying we're on track, because right now he's 4th in receiving yards with 192, and he's tied with about 10 different players with 1 receiving touchdown. So for 2nd place. So it's on track. That's all I'm saying on that one.
Just kidding, John. Just kidding. Not really, but you're in his back and forth on social media about Nathan Rourke's projected numbers of 1,000 yards rushing and 5,000 yards passing after 2 weeks. That was something else.
I drew the ire of some BC Lions fans. They didn't like that.
BC Lions fans, can I just... BC Lions fans are nauseating to start this season. My goodness. I didn't pick them for week one, and it was just like, oh, my goodness. Couldn't believe it. And then, like, oh, no surprise. Now he's not picking the BC Lions. Never gives us any credit. Okay. We'll see how it goes. I'll tell you what, I'm not picking you this week either. After what Chris Trevler did to you, I think Zach Collaros might be doing even more in his debut this season. So around the Canadian Football League, as we mentioned, Kevin Brown is back for the Toronto Argonauts. We'll see if he plays or not. But last week, we saw Winnipeg's win, as I mentioned, over the BC Lions. Chris Trevler, the revelation. I did not see that coming. That was probably the best game he's ever played at quarterback out of week one against the BC Lions. And Nathan Rourke might be injured now. And Brady Oliveira is injured now. So not a great night for big Canadian, the stars of the Canadian Football League.
No, not at all. You never want to see injuries. It's unfortunate. We'll see with Nathan Rourke if he pushes it. If I was the Lions, I wouldn't. I would sit him this week and see where he's at for next week. It's a marathon, not a sprint. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers proved just that last season. So if he's even just slightly hurt, I would rest him this week and get him ready for the next one.
Yeah, he also had Montreal over Ottawa. Ottawa without Drew Brown. Drew Brown might be back this week when they take on Calgary in Calgary. The Alouettes, if we're doing power rankings, and I the Alouettes are number one for me. The Riders would be number two. The Alouettes have come out of the gate so strong. That I picked them to be in the Grey Cup against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And if I'm projecting forward after 2 weeks, I like my Riders, Alouettes, Grey Cup matchup prediction.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Montreal's defense has been spectacular. They have really done well. Davis Alexander's looked good. Just getting back Ottawa and Calgary too, I'm excited for that game. I think this is the game, if Drew Brown plays, that we can finally make kind of a decision on these teams. Has Ottawa really an 0-2 team, or are they better than that with Drew Brown? Is Calgary really a 2-0 team, or have they just kind of also, like the Riders have this season so far, kind of benefited from maybe those Eastern teams not being quite ready?
Yeah, well, can Calgary beat Toronto? We talked about Toronto's, just lack of anything, spark or anything. They've only scored, an average of 14.5 points offensively. Vernon Adams Jr. does what Vernon Adams Jr. does. He's big play VA. He will throw picks. He will turn over the ball, but he'll also probably put up 30 points almost every week because of his ability. And that's what the Calgary Stampeders needed at the quarterback position. Jake Mayer wasn't doing that for them, and they have a little bit more of a spark in their offense. Dedrick Mills is running the ball. Unfortunately, one of the big injuries from the week, it was a bad week for injuries in week two. Reggie Bagleton is on the 6-game injured list, so that'll be a big loss for the Stampeders receiving core, but they have an okay depth-wise receiving core. Of course, they brought in Dominic Rhymes. They have the other Philpott and Jalen Philpott there in Calgary, so they'll be able to get through. But Reggie Bagleton's a big piece of that offense. But early going, the surprise of the Canadian Football League, if we're doing surprises through 2 weeks, it's how well the Calgary Stampeders have come out, especially with a lot of new faces on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. That's why I'm very interested by that matchup, because I think that's where we can gauge where these teams are, because I think Ottawa's better than where they have been. It's just Drew Brown's been a little hurt, and they face the Riders, who we both have in the Grey Cup. So no shame in losing to someone, like a team that people expect to be good. Now it's, can Ottawa go out and beat a team, if they want to take that next step, who they should beat?
Yeah, I would say that for sure. On this game, when we do our picks, and let's get into our picks a little bit here, Britton, right now, from this week's games. Let's start with Montreal in Edmonton, a road trip for the Alouettes, a little bit of a shorter week. Edmonton had a bye week last week to figure out their week one. Still not sure about Trey Ford. He is dynamic. He is a highlight reel. But there are huge gaps from what Trey Ford does to what other elite quarterbacks in this league do. Like, he is probably the best athlete at the quarterback position, but he might be the ninth best quarterback at the quarterback position right now in the Canadian Football League. He needs to be better at reading defenses and not just rely on his athletic ability and make those quick throws and do all those things. I know they've got to be working with him in Edmonton on that and against this Montreal defense. I'm going to go with the Montreal Alouettes on the road in Edmonton this week.
Yeah, here's the thing with Trey Ford. It's that you can't blame the coaching staff. You can't blame the team for being wishy-washy with him. Trey Ford has to come out and show improvement at the position because they haven't said they'll go to Cody Fajardo, but Cody Fajardo is there. He is someone who they can turn to if this season gets away, and then the excuses start to run out a little bit for when Trey Ford, when we see him take that next step. It kind of has to be this season, even though I know that there's coaching staff changes. He has to deal with that, but you want to see more. I also am picking Montreal. I think Montreal's really good. That defense is really dynamic. But I do think it's going to be closer than people think because teams coming off a bye often play pretty well. They've had that extra week to kind of just rest, get prepared for Montreal. So I think it'll be closer than what people might think, but I think Montreal will pull it off in the end.
We also have, we'll skip over the Riders and Argos a little bit. By the way, I went 2-2. I think you went 3-1 last week. I think you got me by a game right now.
Brittany Gray.
Yeah, you're 6-2. I'm 5-3. Ottawa, Calgary, Ottawa Red Blacks in Calgary. Drew Brown coming off that injury. I was expecting, if you would have told me who's winning this game at the start of the season, I would have had 75% confidence that it would be the Ottawa Red Blacks. Now I'm the other way. I've completely flipped. Because the Stampeders are showing it on the field that, okay, so I'm picking the Stamps. I'm going with the home team. Ottawa's traveling. Drew Brown should be back, and Ottawa should be better, but I don't know. I think the playmaking that I've seen from the Calgary Stampeders defense and Vernon Adams Jr. getting away from that defensive line that hasn't really been as stalwart as we all anticipated. Mm-hmm. I think the Stampeders start the season 3-0, Britton Gray. I can't believe I am saying that.
I can't believe you're saying that either. I just think that this Ottawa team with Drew Brown is closer to quarters 3 and 4 that we saw against the Riders than what they played with Matthew Schiltz. I still think Ottawa's a good team. I'm not completely sold on Calgary quite yet, especially now that they've lost Bagleton. I'm taking Ottawa to win this one with Drew Brown there, as I think Ottawa finally, with their starting quarterback back, kind of calms down and plays the football that they know they can play.
And the final game of the week, before we get to our Riders Argos prediction, that is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the BC Lions. It's one of those back-to-back games. Of course, they're in Winnipeg last week without Zach Collaros. Chris Drevler played very well. Nathan Rourke had his issues, and he might not play this week either. So Zach Collaros back in the lineup. Last time we saw Zach in the preseason, he threw two passes. They were both 40 yards, and one of them ended in a touchdown against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I think Zach Collaros will go over 300 yards. The running back replacing Brady Oliveira, he went over 100 last week. So that offensive line can open the holes for anybody, apparently. I got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers winning back-to-back games against the BC Lions, especially with that question mark around Nathan Rourke's health for this game.
I think the BC Lions were caught off guard by the game plan that the Bombers have with Chris Drevler. I think they didn't expect Chris Drevler to sit back and be a pocket passer. I think that when Brady Oliveira went down, they were caught off guard by the rookie running back. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. Now that you kind of know what to expect running game-wise, you know what Zach Collaros does, I think even with Jeremiah Mazzoli, I'm leaning BC here to come back and win. It's hard to beat a team twice in a row. That's why the Labor Day Classic and the Banjo Bowl, it's always tough to sweep it. The Bombers have done a good job of that recently, but it's tough to do. I think BC finds a way to win.
I don't know, the new offensive coordinator, I think they have the book on Bach. I think the Mike O'Shea, Buck Pierce is a rookie head coach, and Mike O'Shea has the book on how to beat a Buck Pierce offense. And I think that's the difference. I think that is a huge factor with these teams going up against each other. You know, the master is beating the student on this one early this season. I don't think it really helped that, you know, Buck Pierce had to take on his former team for two of the first 3 weeks of the season when they know him so well and what he likes to do and the nuances of what Buck Pierce like. I don't think that helped Buck Pierce early. So a couple of disagreements on this one. We'll see how it works. We're pretty unanimous, though. The Rough Riders beat the Toronto Argonauts. Britt and Gray, that's what we're going with. Bunch of homers here on the Green Zone. Bunch of Sasky homers going with the Riders for three straight weeks, but they haven't proven us wrong yet.
No, not at all. And Toronto, it doesn't look good there right now. Until they get Chad Kelly back, it's going to be tough to pick Toronto for anything. Too many injuries. The Riders, I think they overcome this, and I don't think it's close. I have like 33-23, and that's maybe with a late touchdown to make things close.
No. Toronto is not scoring 23 points. That is no. 30-17. That is my prediction for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to start the season 3-0 for the second straight year. And a reminder that I love their schedule. They got even bye weeks this week, this year. So play BC, have a bye week, play a couple of games, have a bye week, play a couple of games. So it's nice and spread out for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Next week might be very interesting if Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions come to down. But I am, and Britton is, pretty confident the Riders will be able to take two trips east and win back-to-back out east. I wonder when the last time that's happened for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. East of Elphinstone has not been going well over the last few years, but Corey Mace changed that last season. Of course, the Green Zone game day, we're not going to have the watch party. The Edmonton Oilers screwed it up. We're going to have a monster watch party for game number 7, and they choked away. They choked it away. So,
yeah.
Pretty canceled because they blame Connor McDavid if you wanted to hang out with us on Friday.
Yeah, he's the one to blame for it all.
Well, who else is there to blame?
Oh, not sure.
I didn't see him score. What, he scored one goal in a meaningless second goal of a 5-2 win? Better show up, Captain. Seriously. we have 3:30. Of course, the Green Zone will start at 2, a special game day edition of the Green Zone Friday at 2 o'clock. I've got Anthony Lanier for Behind Enemy Lines. You have All or Nothing on Logan Ferland this week, I do believe, Britton.
Yeah, Logan Ferland, kind of his evolution and what people have seen from him over the growth of the past few years. Then also talking to Daniel Johnson as the player profile, because he's got a great story of where his family's from, coming to Canada, and now starting left tackle of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which... still, how they've rolled out their offensive line, I just love that fact, because it's a weird when you look at it. It's not often you have two American guards and that Canadian left tackle out there.
Yeah, it's a new look, but it's working for them early this season for the Rough Riders. So again, Friday, 2 o'clock, a special edition of the Green Zone game day with the pregame show with Belton, Darrell, and myself beginning at 3:30 ahead of the 5:30 kickoff on Friday on the CFL on TSN. So there's a look at our week. There's a look at this week around the Canadian Football League and with the Green and White. Of course, as always, we ask you to please like, subscribe, share, tell a friend about the Blitz podcast, and thank you for sending in your questions. Keep the questions coming. We'll answer them next week on the Blitz. But before then, we'll see you on the radio.